Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey moms, dads, teachers, and coaches, visit pncachieversbaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
From the Anderson Automotive Studios, this is WJZFM, Cadenceville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Over the weekend, your Baltimore Ravens finished off their 2026 draft, adding a host of new faces to the flock, led by first-round pick Vega Ione, a guard from Penn State. Overall, Baltimore finished the draft with 11 new players and then signed 16 undrafted players who will vie for a spot on the roster this summer. But the weekend was not only a milestone moment for the guys that got picked, it was also the first draft for rookie head coach Jesse Minter. Here's Coach on what it was like to be in the war room over the weekend.
Yeah, it was incredible. Really cool situation to kind of see the team come together. You know, when you go into it, there's, I think, you know, 50 so players on our team, and you add 11, and then obviously we'll add more the rest of the day. That'll be really exciting when we look out there and there's 90 guys on the roster.
Up next for Minter and the Ravens coaching staff, rookie minicamp this weekend. And yesterday at the yard, the Birds dropped another series, losing the rubber match to the Red Sox 5-3. Birds starter Kyle Bradish with another up-and-down performance. He'd give up 3 earned runs over 5 innings and also walk 4 as his record falls to 1-3 on the season. The Baltimore offense didn't do much to help him out as they struggled against Boston starter Connelly early. He would pitch 6 2/3, a 4-hit ball, giving up just a pair of earned runs in the form of solo homers to Sam Basayo and Gunnar Henderson. The O's are now 13-15 on the season. They'll look their wounds today before welcoming the Astros to Baltimore for a 3-game series beginning Tuesday evening. Your Monday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly sunny skies, highs around 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
A cop, a coach, a con man, and an average Joe. The Big Bad Morning Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Connor, Ravens' most impressive pick. And I'm going fourth round. I think Elijah Surratt was to get that guy in the fourth round. Again, this is not the best player drafted, the most impressive pick. And one thing I will agree with Trippie, I think when you go back-to-back and stack wide receivers like that, Jacoby Lane, and then come right back in the next round, Elijah Surratt, I think wide receivers on the roster right now need to look over their shoulder. Of course, not Zay. I'm not talking about that. But when you get to your third and fourth guys, when you stack wide receivers like that, I think that's a message. But my most impressive pick, Ed, getting Indiana wide receiver Elijah Surratt in the fourth round. What's yours?
Mine is Zion Young. For him, he fell to him in second, but I think he fills a huge need. I know, you know, they pick up Hendrickson. Of course, you have Green. But the Zion Young, I didn't think he'd be there, honestly, because he's a pretty complete edge player. You know, obviously can pressure, you know, the quarterback, but actually sets a really good edge. And I just think he's going to see some playing time this year as a rookie. And I was really happy to pick him up.
Yours, Jerry?
I'll go with Jacoby Lane. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised when they see this guy get out there. Catch radius. He makes very difficult catches, which is why I think you're going to see him used in the red zone quite a bit. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up stealing some more playing time. And don't forget, with this new system, you're going to see a rotation of wide receivers. So guys will be on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about him stealing somebody's road. That goes back again to what was said, two segments ago. There are guys on this roster in that wide receiver room. This is a new offense. This is a new coach. So I think if your name is not Zay Flowers and you're coming into this offense, Ed, then you have an advantage because you don't have to unlearn the previous offense.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be said for fresh eyes from a coaching staff. He's got no obligation, no allegiance to anybody. He just, because it's human nature just to, you know, be prejudiced one way or another, liking someone too much or disliking them for no good reason. Now you don't have any. You don't have any history with these guys. You come in and you're hopefully just looking at straight up talent, how they can, you know, help the team. So I think having a whole new staff, a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach, all that really helps.
Want to hear from you, 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What's the Ravens' most impressive pick? And you said Elijah Young. I mean, I'm sorry, Zion Young.
Zion Young.
What do you like about him the most?
I like that he's a complete edge player. He's not, you know, because I was excited about Hendrickson getting picked up. But, you know, if we're going to go back over that painful history, Crosby's a better player because he's a complete player. Crosby's also good against the run. If you look at Zion Young's history, he's got a ton of tackles for loss out of his, it's like 20 to 25% of his total tackles are for loss. So to me, that means that's a guy that's really good against, you know, edge run, people running to the edge.
To back up what you're saying, last year he had 42 tackles, 16 and a half of those were for losses.
Yeah.
Jeremy, does it concern you the fact that he only had 6.5 sacks?
No, I mean, look, you're bringing him into and fitting into what I believe this system is going to be on defense. And I don't know. I don't have any questions about it until we see it. Watching a guy like Owe leave here and go to the Chargers and all of a sudden be exactly the player you thought you drafted at the end of the first round, I have hopes that he knows how to develop these guys and work with them and put them in situations to succeed.
What are you most impressed about Jacoby Lane?
I mean, if you look at, by the way, he had a, not that you're just going to compare these two, but he had a catch like Odell Beckham's. I think the hands there are just tough.
6'4".
Yeah, and again, like making contested catches. I mean, Flacco and Bolden had a little rapport that went, he didn't catch all of them, but he had 11 touchdowns, zero interceptions for that playoff run. And throughout that year and leading through the postseason, there were a lot of 50-50 balls that were thrown up. I don't remember Anquan Bolden not coming down with most of those.
Elijah Surratt led FBS with 15 receiving touchdowns. The man knows how to get in the end zone. He averaged 13 yards a catch. He had 15 receiving touchdowns. Started 14 games with a national champion. That's a big play wide receiver, man. You have 65 catches, 15 for touchdowns. And you're talking about a guy, Ed, who, as Jeremy said, they had a lot of miles to feed in Indiana in terms of receivers.
Yeah,
he still had 65 catches and 15 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, while Mendoza's trying to feed, Surratt took the food.
That's what I'm saying. When you get on that side of the field, I mean, because I wouldn't call Surratt a big play receiver. I don't think he's a guy that's going to be catching 60-yard bombs.
Yeah, you're right.
Not to say that can't happen. I mean, we've seen it. Mark Andrews has called a touchdown and ran it all the way in from, you know, 50, 60 yards out. We've seen that happen. But the point is, like, when they get down near the red zone, you have a guy in Mendoza that didn't throw for a ton of yards. Look at how many touchdowns he had in this season.
See, I think there are two different types of big plays, Ed. The big plays for yardage and big plays for impact. I think he's an impact big play. When you have 15 touchdowns, you know, that's a huge impact to the offense. I agree with Jeremy. He averaged only 13 yards a catch. But I think he's a guy that's going to make you some third down catches, some contested catches, a big red zone guy.
I agree with you. And again, if you're going to go back to the a lot of mouths to feed, he was playing opposite Omar Cooper. And when the guy went to the Jets, that guy's, you know, 69 catches, you know, almost 1,000 yards, 13 touchdowns. So you're talking about a real prolific passing game. So I think he was a great pick, actually, Surratt, because then Cooper was, you know, the number one there. But he went in the first round to the Jets.
Looking at the rest of the division, do you like what the Ravens did, Jeremy, compared to the rest of the division?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm still the Steelers, like, they missed out on getting a wide receiver, and then they drafted somebody that I liked right after that. Here, I'll find it in a second. And don't forget, they traded for Michael Pittman Jr. They still got to figure out who's throwing the damn football. But with the rest of the teams, Cincinnati, I'm still, like, I'm glad you got a good player on the, oh, they got Jeremy Bernard out of Alabama. another player that I liked in this draft. And I always look at whenever the Steelers draft wide receivers, it's like, pay attention to it because they usually find good
ones. They develop them. Yeah, well, yeah. They develop them somehow. They do.
So I look at them, but again, like I asked this question of somebody else. The Ravens have to be the front runner in this division. I don't know who's quarterbacking for the Steelers. I can't pick them. Cincinnati, people always want to lift them up because they got the best receiver in football. You got one of the best quarterbacks.
Joe Burrow misses more games than Lamar.
They do this every single year, and until that defense is better, that cat can't come out and throw the ball 50 times a game and win consistently.
And Cleveland?
It's Cleveland. I'm not even trying to be rude. Like, I think Cleveland has the best roster of any of those other teams.
But no quarterback. Which is proof that quarterback is the most important.
The Steelers
important
have
position.
More quarterbacks than the day. Because I don't trust any of those cats. And if I'm Cleveland, you know how I feel about this. I'm going into the season to see what I got with Sanders.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Screw. But Deshaun Watson's going to get the chance.
Because of the money.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you favor wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the Browns. What about Concepcion? Were you surprised it took him that high?
No, because he was... look, there were a couple of receivers at A&M that you could look at and go, okay, these guys are special. Concepcion was just off the charts. One of those guys, I don't want to compare him to Puka because it's unfair to compare him to some of these guys, but I think he's a really good player and it's going to play at this level.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 7:45, but on the other side, what positions do the Ravens still need to shore up in free agency? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you miss. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, we all know real estate agents, right? Let me tell you about the one I trust and recommend. His name is Vinny Steele. It's Rob Long. And for years, I've been telling you about Vinny Steele with Your Home Sold Guaranteed Realty because his results and guarantees are truly different. Vinny sells homes 2.8 times faster and for 3.1% more than the average agent. On a home sold for $400,000, that's about $12,400 more in your pocket. Vinny has over 12,700 buyers waiting, which means your home may already be sold. Vinny Steele has helped thousands of families over 23 years in real estate. That means your home sold guaranteed or Vinny will buy it at a price and time frame agreeable to you. Take it from me. When you're ready to sell your Maryland or Lower Pennsylvania home, do your homework and call the expert I trust. Call or text Vinny Steele, 410-793-1801. That's 410-793-1801. Or visit VinnySteele.com. That's VinnySteele.com.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. I-70 eastbound in Howard County. An accident at exit 80 at Sykesville Road has the right lane and the right shoulder blocked. You're backed up there from past 97. The inner loop of the Beltway looks good. The outer loop is slow from Bel Air Road all the way to Delaney Valley Road. And 895 in the city is stop and go from Eastern Avenue through the Harbor Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
Rob, Jeremy, Ed, and Joe. The Big Bad Morning Show. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us at 7:45 to talk about what went down in Cleveland. You were talking about it a few minutes ago, Jeremy. It's Cleveland, man. World is stupid at 7:30, but Ed Norris, I think the obvious answer probably is center. But other than that, what positions do the Ravens need to shore up in free agency?
Well, you can't take the answer away from me and ask me. That's the answer.
That's like saying you can't. What's the problems? You can't say injuries.
Right. No, I think center is absolutely the main concern. Right now, we don't have one. I mean, they can say what they want. We don't really have a center. We had a really good one, and he's gone. So I think that's the biggest concern. The other place I really think there is some need is inside linebacker for depth. Mm. Because we really haven't had that, you know? It's been Roquan and...
Well, people are starting to call him Roundquan, so
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
That's rough, man. You can't have any hiccups. Somebody's going to take a photo of you. You got to look your best at all times. But this is the sport. I mean, nobody wants to see you out of shape.
Yeah, I'm with you. I inside linebacker is huge for me. Other than center, center's like the glaring obvious one. But inside linebacker, this has nothing to do with Roquan and the shape that he's in and any of those things. Just who else do you have?
Rob's like, other than water, what was the issue with the boat sinking? What? They did pick up
a hole.
What? They did pick up an undrafted free agent center from Penn State who played alongside Ioane. But again, this is what I'm saying. It doesn't mean this guy couldn't come in and start, but I don't think teams are expecting to go to undrafted free agents to find a starter unless it's a punter or a kicker.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was a little surprised they didn't pick up a linebacker or a center. They got a punter with some swag.
So. Yeah. Well, they also, I was telling him before you came on, Ed, they got the kid Dom, not the guy from Fast and Furious, the Penn State inside linebacker that was a special teams ace, and he was a two-time captain of that team. So they picked him up. But again, we'll see what it looks like when it comes in. The Ravens always do this, though, where they find a bunch of guys that are really good at special teams as well.
They do. Yeah. They have special teams is important. I don't know. You think it's the same amount of importance, Ed, now than when you had it before with a special teams coach?
I think special teams are vitally important. I mean, just.
No, I mean, is it treated the same as with the coaching staff?
Oh, yeah, I would assume so. I would assume so because, you're playing at coaching at this level. You know how important teams is. And if you don't have it or you have weaknesses in your kicking game, your return game, your coverage, any of it, giving up. Because we've had trouble. There has been problems that have arisen to me, particularly on kickoff coverage, where they were giving up some pretty big returns that you're not used to seeing because it puts so much emphasis on special teams. So, I mean, my point is when there is a weakness or something that's not where it should be, it's pretty glaring on special teams.
You know, you're right because it's a big play. As special teams, most of the time, if you miss, there's not often someone that's going to back you up. And if they do, it's 20, 30 yards downfield backing you up.
So correct. Right, and they end up in your territory right from the get.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I think the cornerback spot, the pick from Duke, kind of took a little bit of urgency away from that. I'm not saying you don't have to pick up any more, but I think it took a little urgency away from that position because they seemed like there was some before.
Well, I'm really intrigued to see what Minner does with the defense. We talk about adding this kid in, and all I read is that he feels like a Minter-type cornerback, the type that he would have drafted had he still been with the Chargers. Like, hey, this is the type of player I want. The same thing with the pass rusher out of Missouri. So I'm interested to see how the defense looks this year and what types of tweaks are made because we've been running kind of the same system for a while, and outside of Mike McDonald and the success they had there, we've been waiting for it to turn around for 2 years now, and then it slightly got better 2 years ago. But last year, it was nowhere in sight.
Yeah. You looked at what he did in, I'm about to say San Diego, L.A. with the Chargers. And you look at, I think there's some people on this roster, and I said it last year, Ed, there's some players on that defensive roster that I believe underperformed, not just because of their own personal performance, but because of scheme. And Roquan's one of those guys that I'm wondering about, but I definitely think the pass rush suffered because of scheme.
I definitely think so. I hate to keep pointing back to what's really a sore point for people, but when McDonald was here, they didn't have a premier pass rusher and they led the league in sacks. And they were, under him, they're always the very top. And that was all scheme.
And I think Minter is very similar to him, too.
So do I.
Yeah.
And the upside of Zion Young is he's very good against the run. He's a good pass rusher, but he has more of an upside as a rusher. So I'm hoping, with Minter, you can do with him what he did with Owe.
Yeah. Well, let the guy rush. Let them rush the quarterback, man. It just seemed like to me there's you got me backing up in the pass coverage. You got let guys who do that. Stop asking me to do what I don't do well. You didn't draft me for my pass coverage. You drafted me to get to the quarterback. By the way, going back to this kid, Chandler Rivers. You know who they compare him to? College comparisons?
Who?
Max Melton out of Rutgers, 85% comparison. Garrett Williams out of Syracuse, 90% comparison. And he has a 91% comparison, according to these stats, to Asante Samuel Jr. out of Florida State. 91%. Yeah. Yeah, this is according to draftbuzz.com, but also I checked it because I just Googled it, and you know how they do the AI answer.
Yeah.
They said Asante Samuel, number one. I'm like, there's no way. But then I looked at another source, and he had the same comparison. So not bad at all. And that's why I said for him to fall, that was the fifth round? Why did he fall so much?
Maybe it was grading out, maybe speed. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
Wasn't the combine king, maybe?
That's possible. Maybe it again, sometimes maybe it's the way that just the draft's going and needs. You might look at him, too. It's an ACC that I don't think you had a lot of teams you're really concerned about throwing the football.
What in the hell?
What?
Where do we get to where 440 is a C grade? He ran a 440 C. So he graded as a C, and it says 84 percentile.
I guess everyone's getting faster. When do we start getting the 4.2s and 4.1s?
Oh, my gosh. He went to the Senior Bowl. His three cone was a 6.96, which was a 45 percentile. So maybe those grades is what made him fall. He wasn't the combine hero, Ed.
Yeah, the pajama Olympics. Love it. Love it. Doesn't mean you can play football.
Were you guys following all the way through, or did you kind of catch up towards the end of the draft? I was home quite a bit, so I was watching and flipping back and forth. And I got to be honest, on Friday, I was so tied into baseball that I forgot the draft had started and looked down at my phone, and I'm like, oh, damn it. And then all of a sudden was going back and forth Friday night. Saturday usually kind of turns into, hey, it's on. The Orioles were playing early. I'm watching it, right. And then it fades out.
What was that? Oh, I went to the game Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually went to the game Friday. It was HBCU night. Energy was strong, man.
Yeah, they asked me to come.
No, they didn't. Busy. No one did.
Busy night for
no,
me.
No, it did. Nobody asked you. Mary Kay Cabot will join us at 7:45.
Bed Bath & Beyond if we have time.
But on the other side, it's the world of stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Oh, yeah. So a couple of stories here for you that we'll start off with. Make sure your significant others can't get their hands on dynamite. I'll tell you what happened with a Long Island woman. Yike. And a Florida pastor wrote a book on how to love your spouse, was just arrested over allegations that he has multiple wives. We'll get to these stories and more when we come
Sounds
back.
Sounds like an expert.
In the world of stupid.
Wherever the Orioles season takes you.
Say goodbye to this ball.
Download the free Odyssey app and hear reactions to all the biggest moments. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
You need to get to the dentist, correct? We all do. Come on. That's why I talked about Dr. Lairfield at Smile Design, because you have to go. It's vitally important for your overall health. It's not just your teeth and gums. It affects your heart. It affects everything. So you need to get in there. If you've been staying away, and I know people have stayed away for 5 years, 10 years, it's not a good thing. It really isn't. You've got to go. If it's anxiety and fear that keeps you away, you're not alone, but 36% of Americans have that. Dr. Lairfield has sedation options. It'll be a comfortable, stress-free procedure. Whatever you have done, it really is. It just takes all that anxiety away. First of all, he's just a nice human being, truly, and just does great cosmetic work. But it put you at ease, and that's what you want when you go to the dentist. It put you at ease, but the best part, you walk out with a smile you always dreamed of. So you not only get your physical health, but you get your mental health, because your self-confidence comes back. You can smile in photographs again, you know, just you're not cover your mouth when you laugh in public, all that. Do it. Seriously, walk in the door, find out what they can do for you. The number's 410-321-1100. Make the appointment for that consultation today, and please tell them I sent you.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning, I-70 eastbound in Howard County. An accident just past exit 80, that's Route 32, has the right lane and the right shoulder blocked, backing you up to pass 97. The inner loop of the Beltway looks good. The outer loop, you're on the brakes from past Bel Air Road all the way to Providence. And on the west side, 795 to Liberty on and off. West Seminary Avenue in the Timonium area is shut down between Thornton Road and Country Brook Way due to a utility problem. And 895 southbound, you're on the brakes, Eastern Avenue through the Harbor Tunnel. 95 southbound is stop and go from Eastern Avenue through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Joe LaCroix.
Sunday afternoon at the Yard, another frustrating loss for the O's.
Here's the 0-2. There will be no balls tonight. A 7-pitch, 7-strike inning, and the Red Sox, under interim manager Chad Tracy, and with a gutted staff, beat the Orioles 5-3 in this rubber game.
The final call from Kevin Brown on Madison. Samuel Basayo strikes out to end it as Boston beats Baltimore 5-3, taking the three-game set. Bird starter Kyle Bradish with another up-and-down performance. He'd give up 3 earned runs in 5 innings of work, but also walk 4, with his record falling to 1-3 on the season. The Baltimore offense didn't do much to support Bradish as they struggled against Boston starter Connelly Early. Early would pitch 6 2/3 before hit ball, giving up just a pair of earned runs in the form of solo homers from Sam Basayo and Gunnar Henderson. The O's are now 13-15 on the season. They'll lick their wounds today before welcoming the Astros to Baltimore for a 3-game series starting Tuesday evening. Your Monday forecast from the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center. Mostly sunny skies, highs around 70. This Fan Flash is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Play home run riches from the Maryland Lottery. You could win instantly or win cash for Orioles home runs as a contestant of the game. Please play responsibly. I'm Joe LaCroix, Ravens Terps, and you're home for the most Orioles coverage. We are 105.7 The Fan.
Highlighting stupid around the world. It's time for Jeremy Kahn's.
Come on, dumbass, play it.
World of Stupid.
All right, let's start it off talking about this Kentucky couple and their kids. Their kids won the lottery. Mm-hmm. Not the type of lottery you're thinking of. If you guys ever read the story, I feel like they'd have been better off being in a field and having people throw rocks at them than to live the life that they've lived already. And this just gets more horrific as I read it. But
oh, they won a real lottery, like a state lottery.
No, I'm saying, if you ever read the lottery, they would pick somebody and whoever won it would get stoned to death. They would throw rocks at whatever. This situation, so these poor kids, first off, the mom dies in a tragic car accident. And so Mary Hall, 44, was granted guardianship of her sister's 3 children. Now, the children's father went to prison for manslaughter charges. Mm-hmm. Hall moved to Pike County in Kentucky with 3 children after beginning a relationship with 44-year-old Jerome Norman, and the children's teachers and principals soon began to notice worrying signs of abuse, including mysterious bruises and hunger patterns by at least one of the kids. This story gets so much worse. One of the children returned to school from an extended break to a winter storm, malnourished, bruised, and with a chipped tooth, prosecutors said that these kids were so malnourished that she was making them squeeze the insulation that was wet to get liquid out to drink, would not even give them water. And these poor kids, they lose their parents, you get adopted by, you know, or picked up by your aunt, and then they go on and treat you like this. And this is the reason I want to bring up this story. It's not to sit here and get all down on all the things that they did to these kids. I mean, it's all evil. But like, I don't know. We get to that point where people say an eye for an eye. I'm sorry, man. Yes. Giving these people 20 years just does not feel like enough for what they've done. Ed, I'll throw it to you. What are your thoughts on that?
It's pretty horrific. I mean, it's sad. I hate to say this, but very often we go through greater lengths to vet people for dog adoptions than kids.
Yep.
And then you see these things happen. I don't know. Look, I've seen so much ugly behavior by human beings, what they're capable of doing to another. But these are actually your relatives.
Yeah.
These are children you saw grow up. How could you, I've learned a long time, you can't make sense out of madness.
So. No, because I can't even imagine doing something like that to a kid I didn't even know. Like,
that's what I mean.
My kid's bullies, I wouldn't even do that. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine doing that to anybody, let alone a kid. I mean.
Or even an animal. I wouldn't do that to an animal.
Yeah.
You starve an animal, beat it. I mean.
These people are disgusting.
No.
Special kind of evil.
Well, let's go to this Florida pastor. He wrote a book on how to love your spouse. He was arrested over allegations that he has multiple wives. Yeah, maybe you're doing it wrong there, Chief. Leslie Williams, 62, was arrested Wednesday on an outstanding warrant for bigamy near his house in rumored swingers paradise. The village's retirement community, according to the Sumter County Sheriff Department. The pastor, who runs his own ministry out of the sprawling 55-plus community, is wanted in Georgia after the Rockland County Sheriff's Department there issued a warrant for his arrest on bigamy charges.
That's the place in Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's notorious down here.
Oh, so you know about this place.
Oh, it's legendary. They ride around with different, like, what are those sponges called? You know, those plastic sponges you use in a bath?
Yeah.
Whatever the hell they are. The poofs,
like a loofah?
Puffs.
Loofahs.
Yeah, loofahs. They're plastic loofahs, yes. And different colors represent different things they're into, and they advertise as they drive around the facility.
And this is not making fun of either spouse, the wife or the male. But we've all been married or are married. What's tough as marriage is, why would you want more than one?
I'm with you.
I said, and this is not making fun of wives or husbands. Yeah. But marriage is tough. How could you have more than one wife or more than one husband,
Rob,
at the same time?
Do you think Ed's been spending most of his life living in a swingers paradise? I just wonder if that's what he's been doing down south. Been spending most my life in a swingers paradise.
I don't have any pictures of evidence.
Oh,
but I could have some pictures of suggestions.
Well, Williams, this dude was nabbed by Sumter County Sheriff deputies and being held without bond. And this is more not about his book and all the other stuff, but he had multiple wives. Well, I thought you were already married. Congratulations, one comment on the post said. Love is in the air, Mr. and Mrs. Williams. Man, you can't be posting this stuff on social media like you don't have friends of friends of friends that are.
If he's being held without bail?
Yes.
What kind of threat is he to the community?
He's going to marry somebody else.
Exactly.
That's it. Of all the people we let run around these streets, this guy you're keeping in? It's you're either a flight risk or you're dangerous. It sounds like he's neither.
It sounds like he's a horny old man. That's it. Nothing wrong with that. He runs Leslie Williams Ministries that advertises services preparing you for the end of time. Out of a rented mailbox at a shopping center within the village. The Post reached out to Rockdale County Sheriff's Office for details on the bigamy charges and extradition process, but did not immediately hear back on Sunday. So maybe this guy gets a slap on the wrist, but it is weird that he doesn't have bond yet. He's just got to stay in jail. Don't meet any other wives in there. All right, this story, I don't know where you go to get dynamite. I know people can find it. But this Long Island woman.
Did you go back to Roadrunner?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is Wile E. Coyote over here.
You got to mack me.
Yeah. This Long Island woman threw a stick of dynamite at her sleeping boyfriend and blew his hand off trying to save himself. The deranged Long Island woman is facing up to 25 years behind bars for tossing a homemade dynamite stick at her sleeping boyfriend, whose hand was blown off as he tried to get rid of the explosive. Kiana Waddell. Rob, Kiana Waddell threw it. Who's, I would have guessed a white had done this.
Hold up. Hey, can I charge those points? I don't have any on me.
Can I ask you? I'm going to turn this around, and we always see this after the fact, but does she have crazy eyes?
Oh, yeah. Yes. F around to find out eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you say? the incident that turned violent after the two got into an explosive argument. Explosive. Way to go, New York Post. I got it. Domestic violence can escalate to deadly levels, and this case is a sobering reminder of that reality. Waddell had threatened to use dynamite against her then boy. Who the hell threatens someone with dynamite? What the hell? Yosemite Sam out there? This is the rudeness.
Al Green got threatened with grits. Are you talking about dynamite?
This is a hot grits. It was there. It was ready.
Every time I make grits, I think of that. You ever had grits pop on you? You imagine having a whole pot thrown on you.
Yeah, the Reverend Al Green did something wrong there.
Yeah, he became Reverend after that. He saw God.
But I love this. You keep running out on me, and I'm going to blow your ass up with dynamite. Who says that? The pair both left the unidentified victim's apartment after their March 22nd, 2024 argument that eventually returned and then went to sleep. And then, of course, this happens. The boyfriend woke up a little while later with a hissing sound, then saw a flame on the floor that he couldn't put out as time ticked away. He tried to pick it up and toss it outside, and boom, the makeshift bomb exploded and blew his hand off. He stumbled out to the driveway screaming for help and spotted Waddell fleeing the scene. This is just a crazy ass story. I had one other story. I was gonna use it for a shovel, but I want to throw it in here because it's so weird to read this headline. All this stuff coming out of Florida. Congrats, Ed, on moving down there. Florida doctor accused of fatally removing wrong organ from patient.
Was it heart out?
Was arrested while he was driving for Lyft.
Give me that again.
Yes. A Florida doctor that was accused of fatally removing the wrong organ from a patient was arrested while driving for Lyft.
Now, there you go.
The people in the back of the car said, from now on, we're using Uber. Tomasz Szaknowski, 44, was cuffed. Like, what do you drive those people home, or do they have to order another Uber there? Because I've seen...
How many doctors do you know have to side hustle for Lyft? Said that mean, there you go.
This has layers. He killed a dude.
He removed the wrong part.
Yeah, guy went in for a circular...
And he side hustles for Lyft.
The guy went in for a circular incision, and he gave him another circumcision. The guy was pissed. No, this is second-degree manslaughter. An officer at the Walton County Sheriff's Office hauled Szaknowski out of his car and handcuffed him while pressing the suspect against the back driver's side window, where one of his stunned passengers was sitting there, according to the body camera footage, just staring at him like, what the hell is happening? Once he was in the patrol car, the officer pivoted to the guy, to the two passengers in the back seat. They explained that their Lyft driver had killed someone. Oh, God. They said that when the officers rushed towards the car with their guns drawn, they feared they were being robbed. Poor people, man. We're just trying to get to the Cracker Barrel. We're in from out of town, for crying out loud. He's been driving with the ride-sharing service for more than a year. And he had a 5-star rating before this.
That's great.
See?
I wonder what his rating
is. Not as a doctor.
Like, which organ did you mess up? Did you... Like, did they tell you needed a lung removed and you took the wrong one? Like, how does that even happen as a doctor? Idea. That's like probably the first thing you learn when you go into doctor school.
He was tired.
Body parts.
He was tired. He was up all night the night before driving Lyft.
Doctor school.
The little surgeries I had in the last year, I was happy. Every time I got one, they drew on me.
Yeah.
Took a big magic marker.
They shaved my balls twice. One time I wasn't even there for me. It was my wife's appointment. I don't know what's going on. That's your brother, stupid.
Oh, my God. The shovel's at 8:15, but on the other side of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, Mary Kay Cabot joins us on The Fan.
This is VJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Sponsored by Wrangler. Shop Wrangler.com for new denim styles to kickstart your day. Remember Diego Pavia? Yeah, the guy who got invited to New York as a Heisman contender, measuring in at 5'9", but putting that he was 6 foot. He was undrafted, but got invited to Ravens minicamp. Has he found a new home? Probably not. I'm Drake Toll.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
From the 105.7 The Fan Traffic Center.
Good morning. In Howard County, that accident right at exit 80 on I-70 eastbound at Sykesville Road still has the right lane and the right shoulder blocked, backing you up to pass 97. 97 southbound is being affected as well. In the city, southbound 895, you're on the brakes from Eastern Avenue through the Harbor Tunnel. Southbound 95 is stop and go from Eastern Avenue through the Fort McHenry Tunnel. The inner loop of the Beltway looks good. The outer loop of the Beltway just after Route 95 is stop and go all the way to Providence. And then on the west side, 795 to Liberty is slow. With your traffic, I'm Maria Dennis.
The Big Bad Morning Show is sponsored by Vinny Steele, your home sold guaranteed realty.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. The draft is in the books for 2026. Joining us right now from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer, she is Mary Kay Cabot. What's going on, Mary Kay?
Wow, what a weekend it was. I think everything changed in the AFC North, didn't it?
It did. It changed a lot. But the one thing that hasn't changed, and Jeremy Kahn pointed this out a couple of segments ago, the Ravens have a quarterback. The Bengals have a quarterback, although both often injured. The Steelers, not so much. Does Cleveland go into the 2026 season with their quarterback?
Well, they have a competition going on right now between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders, basically. For all intents and purposes, it is those two guys vying for the starting job. Then they also have Dylan Gabriel is still on the roster from last year, and they drafted Talen Green, a very, very intriguing prospect, 6'6", 4.36 in the 40. I think Todd Monken is going to have a field day trying to think of things that he can do with Talen Green.
So what do you think of the draft overall? I mean, they pick up Fanoa in the first round. Well, two first-round picks. Concepcion, Fanoa, you pick up wide receiver and a tackle. I mean, nobody gets excited about offensive linemen, but this it's really important, just like the Ravens did, picking up Ione. How do you think they did overall?
You know, on paper, I think it looks fantastic. I think this draft looks really, really good for the Browns. I think Todd Monken is probably pretty, pretty excited what they did in this acquisition cycle in general, because they completely overhauled the offensive line. There will probably be five new starters on the offensive line, including their new left tackle, Spencer Fano. So it's going to be, there's a lot of change afoot on the offense, but they supplied him with plenty of weapons and almost everything that he needs to run a good operational offense. Maybe not explosive yet, but an operational offense. And they just need to get good quarterback play. So if he can get good quarterback play out of Deshaun or Shedeur, then they'll be in business this year.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, and I don't mean this to be demeaning, but like, I actually like the skill position players on the Browns now. I feel like there's some nice pieces there for whoever ends up being the quarterback. I'm a huge fan of Harold Fannin Jr. I think that guy could be one of the top tight ends in the league, period.
Oh, absolutely. Harold is amazing. And then I do think that Isaiah Bond, their receiver from last year, he's heading into his second year now. And I think he's going to elevate his game. They think that Jerry Jeudy is going to step up his game from what happened with him last year. He was really off. And then now they have Casey Concepcion and Denzel Boston. So it has all the makings of a really, really good pass-catching core. Once again, they have to have the quarterback getting them the ball. But they have what they need on that side of the ball now. And I'm really eager to see what Todd Monken is going to be able to do with this group.
Mary Kay Cabot joins us from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. I'm glad you brought up KC Concepcion. The Steelers wanted to draft Mekhi Lemon. They got duped by the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm thinking, okay, now you got KC Concepcion there. They passed on him. And another AFC North rival get some. I like him out of Texas A&M. I think he brings a lot to your offense, whoever's quarterbacking.
Absolutely. They are so excited about KC and what he can bring. He's shifty. He's fast. He's agile. He can play inside. He can play outside. You can do so many different things with him. They've got a really good dynamic group now. They've got size with Denzel Boston. They've got the speed and, you know, the great hands and the great separation with KC. Then, you know, like I said before, you still have Isaiah. You can't count him out at all. And then you've got Harold. It really does have the makings of an explosive offense, and it's amazing that they were able to put this all together in one offseason. And I just think that Todd is going to have a great time going up, you know, going to the drawing board and figuring out what he can do with all of these guys.
Mary Kay, from where you stand, what do you think of the Ravens as a team right now? They have the fewest people in the league under contract. A bunch of significant players went to the Giants with Harbaugh. We lost a center to the Raiders. Just a lot of people left the roster, and now, you know, I like the draft, but there's a lot of holes on this team right now. How do you view it as a division rival?
Well, Well, I haven't had a chance to really study everything that they've done so far in the offseason because it's been kind of crazy over here right now. But I will tell you, the Browns really liked Jesse Minter a lot. They really liked him a lot. And I do think that, you know, that you guys landed a really, really, really good head coach. And I think that there's a lot to look forward to. And whenever you have Lamar Jackson on your team and some of the pieces that you guys have, then I still think that they should be able to go out and contend for the AFC North crown again. So I think the future is very, very bright over there.
So what needs to go right for the Browns to be a playoff team?
Quarterback. You know, that it comes down to that. They've got everything else that they need right now. I mean, that offensive line should be pretty good. It should be really good, actually. And they've got the skill positions. They just need the quarterback to pull it all together, which has, of course, been the problem for the Cleveland Browns pretty much, you know, for years and years and years. But if Deshaun can kind of get back to what he used to be a little bit, or what the Browns hoped he would be when they made that trade, then they should be in business. Or if Shador can elevate his game this year and get the ball to all these pass catchers they now have, they could really make some noise this year.
There she is, Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, as always, thank you for your time.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Thanks, right, Mary Kay.
410-583-1057. If you look at the roster, and you said it earlier, Jeremy, not only what they had, but what they brought in, they have a tremendous roster. However, Ed, when you have quarterback competition, it's because you don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's correct. Anytime there's competition, you have no quarterback. Because, I mean, you look around the league, most teams, you know who the quarterback is, and then there's everybody else. Like, you know, Ty Simpson's going to be playing for the second string position.
Exactly.
You know who the quarterback is. So there's that. And frankly, the Browns have been they've looked like the best team on paper for a couple of years.
No quarterback.
They've had no quarterback, though, but they've had a lot of talent.
Think about this. Teams that you worry about, Jeremy, in the AFC, Buffalo Bills, quarterback competition?
No.
Patriots, quarterback competition?
No.
Not even the Texans, to be honest with you. No quarterback competition there. No. The Jags, the Broncos, the Chargers. And if
Chiefs.
And if Mahomes is healthy, he's right. Going to start. The 100%. Top teams don't have quarterback competition. They have quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They have backup competition.
Yeah, you guys can go fight it out for who gets to play in case I get hurt. That's it. I mean, that's... And look, we know this as much as we talk about it. It's nice to have a decent backup quarterback, but more times than not, and I don't need people to give me the history of Kurt Warner and Jeff Hossett, all these guys that have won as backups.
You know why you remember those?
Because
it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
That's why you remember it. Remember the time they had Tom Brady draft? Yeah, because you remember that because it doesn't happen.
Yeah, of the, what, 60-some? Yeah. We have three of them? Yeah. Four, maybe? You know, like... But yeah, I think it takes a lot for a team to get there. And if you're going to do it, you need to have a really good roster built. I think the Browns have a great roster. They're just missing the key ingredient.
410-583-1057 is the number. We're giving out shovels at 8:15, but on the other side, at what point do you start to worry about Pete Alonso, Ed? He'll answer on the other side right here on The Fan.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, you know what's coming up? I mean, May is coming up, so that means Mother's Day is coming. It's Sunday, May 10th. So from 11 to 7 on May 10th, the Tavern is hosting a special Mother's Day brunch all about celebrating the amazing women in your life. So check out the Mount Washington Tavern. Get some delicious food, some great drinks, relaxed vibes, and that warm neighborhood feel that makes the Tavern a Baltimore favorite. Been one of mine for 25 years. Been going there for that long. Perfect place to make memories with family and friends. But it is Mother's Day, so reservations are required. So please call or book online today because the tables fill up fast. If you're a baseball fan, and who isn't, we're talking a lot of baseball, don't miss out because the Tavern is the best spot to catch the game. You hang with friends there and it's watching one of the many TVs they have in the three bars in that place. Or just hop on the light rail if you're going to the ballpark. It's right across the street. It's so easy. You don't fight with traffic or parking or anything. Jump on the light rail, come back the same way. And, of course, happy hour every day of the week, or at least during the week, Monday to Friday, 3 to 6, $10 martinis, old-fashions and Manhattans, $8 crab hush puppies, mussels, and plenty more. And, of course, Sundays, $5 drinks. It's crushes, rail drinks, canned seltzers. It's just a fun place, so make it a full day. Enjoy great food, raise a glass, relax, take in the energy of a place that always brings a great crowd together. And while you're there, please say hi to Rob, Dave, and Buck, the Mount Washington Tavern, where Baltimore eats.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.